Thanks, Brother Bill. Take your Bible this morning, would you? And find 2 Timothy chapter 10. Could you do that? 2 Timothy chapter 10. Are you all well today? Everybody happy? Love the Lord? Do you love Jesus? And are you doing well? Are you ready to go home? And Christmas time is coming. Are you happy about that? And just around the corner, my favorite time of the year, because it's my off time, so I get to go home. And I'm looking forward to that. And we've been on the road for many weeks. I am Dave Young. I have one wife, and she's my best friend, Bethley Joy, and I've been on the road together for 22 years now. And we have five children. We have two in college, and then we have three traveling with us. Matthew is 15, and Jacob is 12, and Charity is 7. And I'm so very blessed. I have a wonderful family. God's so good to me. And I always love coming to Ambassador. I don't get here very often, but I do pray for y'all. I pray for Brother Beale every week, and I pray often along the way for Ambassador, and pray for some of you that are here, because I know you, and I'm sure glad to have you here. Caleb Miller is up here. His dad's one of my buds, and Aaron's up here. His dad's one of my pals, and I pray for your families every day, and I'm sure glad to see these guys this morning, and some of you, and I met this morning. I met Brother John, Brother Mr. John. Is your first name James? Josh. Joshua John. I was told by a few girls that he was a loser. And they paid me to say that. So, and he said that was fine. They are too. So we're even. And so I don't know what's going on there, but that was an interesting thing. Because he looks like a nice young man to me. And I got to speak in evangelism today, and I met him there, and just having a good day. I'm glad you're here. And it's always a privilege to be here. I love to hear y'all sing. I love the music. I just love being in chapel. It's a great place. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're serving the Lord. I'm glad you're preparing your life. Hope you're walking with Jesus. Hope you're growing and just seeking the Lord about things. And I'm glad you have a day of fasting and prayer. Those are special days. And the days for the Lord to encourage you and strengthen you. And David, you remember the psalmist David said, I humbled my soul with fasting. And it's a special day to say, Lord, I'm going to skip a few things here that I can seek your face because I want to get help from you. So I'm glad this is a good day for you and the Lord's working in your heart. I'm sorry my family's not here. I'd love to introduce them to you. When my family's not with me, I'm really not all there. Because most of the time I'm not there anyway. But when my family's not with me, I always feel a little incomplete. And they're not here today. And I'm sorry they're not. They're over with us in the revival. So if you join us for a revival service, I'll introduce you to the most beautiful lady I have ever met in my life. And I'll introduce you to my wife. She's pretty good about it, too. She calls me handsome hunk of man. Isn't that great? You can just call me Brother Dave. Because that'd be a little weird, wouldn't it? And, I have a beautiful wife. I'm so grateful. And I love serving the Lord and love preaching. And I'm just thrilled. I'm thrilled to preach to you today. There's a text in my heart. I'm going to preach a new sermon. And I'm talking a lot because I'm nervous. New sermons, I'm an evangelist, and evangelists don't preach new sermons. And when we do, that scares us to death. Pastors are my heroes because they preach a new sermon like every service. But evangelists, we don't do that. And when we do, it just like it kills us. I'm going to have ulcers and all those things. I've done this twice this week. I'm like, what are you doing to me? Evangelists don't do this. But I'm going to try anyway to preach a new sermon. So if it's lousy, forgive me. It's a new sermon, okay? And if it's good, then praise the Lord because it's Him. But it's a message that it's in my devotions. I was reading my devotions recently. 2 Timothy chapter 10, verse 1. And just a thought here has just been mulling. It's kind of my meditation passage for this week. 2 Timothy chapter 10, verse 1. Here's what Paul says. All right, go with me. Let's read 5 or 6 verses, okay? Verse 1. Are y'all with me? And what did I say? Oh, I'm in 2 Corinthians 10, 1. Wow. See, I tell you, evangelists can't preach new sermons. What did I say anyway? Did I really? Well, you should know what I meant. Come on, you people are brilliant. Aren't you fasting and praying today? Don't you have the gift of discernment? All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. It's page 1237 if you have a Scofield Bible. And if you don't, you're on your own, okay? So do you have 2 Corinthians 10, 1? All right, good. If you can't find it, go to Revelation and go backwards and you'll get there. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I liked that statement. It's not my sermon. But that little phrase just has molded in my heart. I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Now tell me, students, aren't you glad that Jesus is meek and gentle? Aren't you glad when you fail, He loves you? Aren't you glad when you're successful, He still loves you? When you got a little pride in your life, He's so meek and gentle. I love that. I prayed about that last night. Lord, help me to be like Christ. And then He says, who in presence am base among you, this is Paul now, but being absent, I'm bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's the phrase that's been in my heart. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, you've been in Bible college, and you're familiar with these verses. They're probably memory verses for you. The part of the passage that really is in my heart, though I'm going to look at a greater portion of it, is the phrase I just emphasized, where the Bible is saying here that our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I just want you to meditate on that just for a moment. Our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So I want to just preach to you a little bit this morning on tearing down your walls. Overcoming strongholds, if you will. I'm 45, and that's quite a bit older than many of you, I'm aware. And you college students wouldn't remember necessarily a Richard Nixon. You know the name probably. But when I was a boy, Richard Nixon was the president. And then we came along and he got in trouble and Gerald Ford became the president. I couldn't remember Gerald Ford's name, so I had to ask Brother Bill today. And he reminded me. Then Jimmy Carter came along. Y'all know that name? Jimmy Carter, the Georgian president with peanuts in his background. And not the comic strip, but literal peanuts. And Jimmy Carter, I remember him because there was a gasoline shortage when he was president. And I remember, I was just a boy, but I remember having, you know, lining up and there was only so much gas they would sell you because they were rationing the gas supplies. And that was a unique time. And then on the heels of that came along a guy named Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan was one of those men that I fell in love with as a boy. He was quite a president. And one of the first things I remember about him that just sticks out so clearly was he was the first president I ever watched do a debate. And, you know, debates are big deals. Donald Trump's running for president now. And of course, Hillary Clinton. And I would just skip those debates, really. But they're entertaining, but that's about all they are. And yet, Ronald Reagan's debate, I remember it very clearly because... Now, one of the things about Ronald Reagan was that he was an old man. He was old. And there was a lot of talk about, can this old man lead our country? And it came up in the debate. He was running against a guy named Walter Mondale. And he was younger. And so the question came up from the debate leader about Reagan's age. And about the age issue, they called it. And when the question came about the age issue, Ronald Reagan said with a smirk, he said, I refuse to make my opponents, youth and inexperience, an issue in this campaign. And because he turned the table the other direction, it was hilarious. Even the commentator who was liberal, you couldn't help yourself. Everybody laughed. I mean, even his opponent who had made age such an issue, everybody laughed. And at that point, it was no longer an issue because you couldn't make it an issue. He had turned the tables on them. He was just that kind of guy. One of my favorite things about Ronald Reagan was his speech in Berlin, and many of you have heard the speech and at least know parts of it. And it's a speech about the wall that separated one side of Berlin from the other, the communist wall. And I pulled it up on a computer screen here, and here's what he said. General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate, Mr. Gorbachev. Open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, he said, tear down this wall. And those words, I love great speeches. I just do. I love to listen to speeches and I love preaching because preaching is part of speaking. And I love a message like that that just grabs your heart. And I remember watching that speech and man, it was powerful. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And I thought of that speech when I read this passage. Because in the text, Paul says to the church at Corinth, The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I'm in verse 4. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I want to preach to you this morning a message that I'm just simply entitling it, Tear Down Your Walls. Your strongholds. Tear them down. All of us have strongholds. Are you aware of that? All of us do. We all do. Paul in the context. Now, in the context, Paul is addressing the Corinthians, and really what he's doing is defending his authority and apostleship. In the context, he is making a statement that I am an apostle, I do have authority here. He is reminding them that he is fighting a war. That's what he's reminding them of. It's a spiritual battle. It has spiritual weapons, and he's talking about the fact that the enemy had erected strongholds in the Corinthian church, and by God's grace and God's help, he was there to tear them down. He was fighting a battle. The strongholds were going to come down by God's grace and by God's help, and he wanted them to know that those strongholds were going to be destroyed, the walls were going to be torn down, they were going to be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And in fact, he's even saying here that the disobedience was going to be punished. They were going to take captivity. They were going to do whatever was necessary to tear down the walls. That's the context of what Paul is saying here. I love the basis with which he comes to them. It's a powerful statement, which makes the first phrase I emphasized even more powerful. Because in the fact that he's defending his authority, he's defending his apostleship. He literally has taken up arms, and he is waging a war, and he's going to tear down those walls. But he says to them, I just want you to know that I'm beseeching you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. When I was younger, it was popular in a lot of preaching to be angry when you preached. Almost to be harsh. We thought taking a stand meant that, bless God, I will offend you if I have to. But Paul never has that spirit here. Paul's not here going, do you know who I am? There's none of that. Paul's not here going, let me just tell you something. I have the right to come down here and clean your clock if I want to. It's not this. No, he says, I just want you to know I'm coming on the basis of Christ, and he's meek and gentle, and I'm beseeching you by who Jesus is, not by who I am. I'm saying I love this passage. That's the context. You got the context? Now, in the application, I want to apply it this morning to me and you personally. And I want to just say to you that our weapons are mighty. That means they're powerful. They're capable. They are mighty through God to the pulling down, the destruction, the demolition. They are mighty to demolish the strongholds in my life and in yours. Four words I'm thinking of to give you a message this morning. And the first one is the word walk. You find that word in verse 3. The second one is the word war. You find that word in verse 3. The third one is the word weapons, three W's. And since I'm a good independent Baptist, I had to find a fourth W, and although it's not mentioned in the text, it certainly is in the context. And the fourth word is the word when. So four words I'm looking at. The word walk. Now he says in verse 3, you got your Bible open? Talk to me. You got your Bible open? So he says in verse 3, he says, for though we walk in the flesh. Now wait a minute. Isn't that me and you? I walk in the flesh, don't you? No matter how much of a preacher I am, no matter how long I've been saved, I live in the flesh. I have a body. I walk in the flesh. I'm me. I live in a world that is surrounded by eating and breathing. Well, not eating today if you're an ambassador. But eating and breathing and walking and talking and visiting and texting and living our life and calling somebody a loser and all those kind of things. We live our life in the flesh. Are you with me? So I got that word. I walk. Now, walk's an important word in the Bible. Do y'all know that word? It's an important word to the Apostle Paul. He uses the word a lot. Especially, for instance, in the letter to the church at Ephesus. You ever read that letter? He talks about walking in the Spirit. He talks about walking circumspectly, about walking in love. A walk is a big word. And I heard one guy say it like this, and this is kind of silly, but it's true. In a sense, we could say that, you know, anybody can walk. Now, I know there's limitations. I know I've got a friend in a wheelchair who's never walked in his life. So I know I'm stretching that a little bit in his case. But walking is Paul's word because I think Paul's reminding us of the simplicity of the Christian life. Because in a sense, what he's trying to say is, keep it simple because you can walk. You can walk. You may not be brilliant as somebody else is. You may not have all the ability in the world. You may not be able to play a radio, let alone one of these pianos. You may not be the best student and the most personality student, but anybody can walk. I hiked the Grand Canyon with my friend evangelist Dave Korn several years ago. And Dave and I were hiking the Grand Canyon. We walked 19 miles in one day. We went way down in the canyon, 9.5 miles, turned around and came back out in one day. It was quite a brutal day. I wouldn't recommend you doing that unless you're willing to suffer for the next 3 weeks. I could not get out of bed the next morning. I heard in places that I didn't even know I existed before I hiked that canyon. But we did it. And Dave was my encourager all day. He's younger than I am and probably in a little bit better shape. And so he was my encourager. If he said this once to me, he said it 100 times a day. He said, now hold on, Brother Dave. He said, all we're doing is walking. All we're doing is walking. We're just, anybody can walk. Come on, all we're doing is walking. We can take another step. But all we're doing is walking. Let's just walk. That's all we're doing. Now it was a little bit different than what he was saying because we were walking 9.5 miles straight down the canyon and 9.5 miles back out. So it wasn't quite as simple as he was making it. And I suppose that in a sense, that may be an oversimplification of what Paul is saying, isn't it? Because we walk in the flesh, he says. And probably we could be more, you know, more detailed than that. But listen, you don't have to be brilliant. All you got to do is walk. Just keep doing what's right. Just walk. Keep doing what's right. Keep loving Jesus. Just get out of bed tomorrow and brush your teeth and get dressed and put your tie on, boys, and come to chapel and love the Lord and do what's right and take a stand when you need to. Just keep walking. That's all you got to do. Keep walking. When times are hard, just keep walking. When you're discouraged, just keep walking. When you're down, just keep walking. When you don't know what else to do, just keep walking. When you don't have a girlfriend, just keep walking. When you don't know who you're going to marry, just keep walking. When you don't know that anybody cares for you, just keep walking. Just walk. That's the word, walk. And it's in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, he admits that. I live my life just like anybody else lives. That's what he's saying. For though we walk in the flesh, notice this now, he changes gears and gives us our second word. We do not war after the flesh. Now, how many of you are aware of the fact that we are in a war? How many of you are aware of that? Are you? Are you aware that there's a battle going on? Have you forgotten that? Sometimes you can sit in a Christian college where, you know, we all dress a certain way, look a certain way, act a certain way. We have to. We're good kids. We got roommates. We pray. We go to chapel. We hear the Bible. Sometimes we can forget that there's a war going on. I'm amazed at how many young men I meet, and they're studying for the ministry. And they think, well, you know, I'm a young man. As soon as I battle my thought life and I struggle a little bit, but, you know, I can't wait till I get married and get older because then I won't have that battle anymore. And I just got bad news for you, fellas. The war never ends. The war never ends. Ladies, the war doesn't stop. We're warring. It doesn't matter if you're the oldest person in the room or the youngest person. The battle is on. There's a war going on. And the war here is related to my strongholds is how I want to apply it today. Those are the things that pull me down. Do your strongholds ever pull you down? I was thinking like this, it might be a matter of purity in your life. Maybe you were careless in your teen years about issues of purity, careless in your past, and now that's a stronghold in your life and it pulls you down. You ever had that happen in your life? You don't want to. You don't want to be that way. You want victory, but there's a stronghold there and it pulls you. Sometimes it lies dormant. Sometimes a stronghold lies dormant for a while. You ever had that happen in your life? It's where you almost forget about it because you're walking on everything's okay and it lies dormant. But the devil is a master for crying out loud at taking the stronghold in your life and just out of the blue slapping you with it. And the next thing you know, here it is. All of a sudden the battle is new and all of a sudden you're fighting again. It might be a matter of purity. It might be an area of personality. Those are good areas, aren't they? How many of you are aware of the fact that there's a multitude of personality styles? How many of you are aware of that? Isn't it amazing? Even just guys and girls have different personalities, don't they? It's amazing how different we are. You're aware of that, aren't you? Girls, their personality is a lot different. Girls are more emotional, typically. Not always, but usually. Girls are more emotional. That's why girls talk more than guys do. Did you know that? Because God made you that way. In your emotions, God designed girls to get it out. They let it out. They talk about it. They got to talk. Now there's guys that are that way, but typically guys say less than girls do because we're different personalities. God made us that way. It's not a bad thing. Don't make fun of that in a bad way because it's not a bad thing. Did you know that hunting is a guy sport usually? You know why? Because hunting takes silence. And I don't mean that to be mean. It's the truth. You go to Cabela's. Cabela's appeals to guys. If they sell camo at Cabela's, what do they sell for girls? Pink camo. Have you ever seen a pink camo girl hunting in the woods? Girls don't wear pink camo to hunt. They wear regular camo to hunt. There's girls that are great hunters. My pastor's wife in Tennessee, she killed more deer than her husband did. So there's no doubt that ladies can. But typically it's a guy's sport because we're different personalities. But it's not just a guy-girl thing. It's not just a guy-girl thing. It's also an individual thing. Your personality is not mine. We're all different, aren't we? Some of you battle with insecurities because of the way God designs you personality-wise. You're so insecure and you get down about it all the time. Somebody says the word, somebody just says a casual word to you that means nothing. And the next thing you know, you're all down. Nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. And I just don't know. Nobody cares about me. And I'm going to run in the backyard and eat worms. It's a personality. It's a stronghold in your life. Some of you, your stronghold, you know, your personality is more apt to worry. Some people are that way. They just worry. Oh my goodness. I'm going to pay my bill. I just don't know what's going on. I don't know what's in my room. I just don't know. I don't know. And you just worry and fret. It's a personality issue. It's going to be a stronghold in your life. Some of you, you're out there. You're one of those, you know. You know anybody like that? They're just out there. And they're just always like bouncing off the wall and saying things. And your personality, God made you that way. It's not wrong to be that way. We're all different. But sometimes your personality, we tend to think of the negative personality as the guy that's always down. And but sometimes being out there, being one of those bouncing off the walls kind of person gets you in trouble. It's a stronghold in your life because your tongue is free. Because you're just designed that way. You know, you're quick-witted because the way God designs you. Some people are that way, aren't they? They're designed that way. It's just personality issues. So strongholds in your life might be a matter of purity. It might be an area of personality. Or it might be a faulty pattern. A habit that you've developed over a course of time that shouldn't be a part of your life, but it is because just a little bit here and a little bit there, next thing you know, you developed a pattern in your life. So that there's kind of a habit in your life, and it's not really you didn't sit out to say, I'm going to make this the consistent mark of my life. But because you were careless over a course of time in a little area or maybe an area that wasn't so little, now you got a faulty pattern. And the war is about those kind of strongholds in your life. Strongholds. Well, what's yours, by the way? Now, you don't need to answer that out loud, but what's yours? Where is it that you're most apt to struggle? Where is it that you get down? Where is it that the devil knows that he can put this wall up, he can raise up this stronghold in your life, he can use this stronghold to discourage you, defeat you, get you down, get you depressed, get you disgusted with yourself? Where is it in your life? Now, yours is not mine. Mine's not yours. But part of the reason I'm preaching this message and part of the reason it's fresh in my heart is because recently the Lord has showed me a couple of strongholds that have discouraged me and defeated. Things that I haven't. And I've been discouraged by them. And I keep thinking, Lord, why do I keep struggling about this? Why is this such an issue in my life? Why do I keep blowing it there? Why do I keep failing there? Lord, why am I that way? And I've been bothered and I've been down a little bit. I've been down on me. I just been down. I told Brother Self, Brother Self's staff evangelist with me and travels with me. And I told Brother Self the day, I said, I've been beating myself up a lot lately. It's almost been a pride issue. And it's almost been pride. Just you know, why am I this way? Because I am the great evangelist, Dave Young. I should be better than this. And it's a stronghold about it. And I came to this verse the other morning and I read this. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And it was early in the morning and it was dark outside. And I dropped on my knees by the couch in our living room in the RV. And I said to God, is this true? God, is this true? God, you know I've got this stronghold in my life. And I'm tired of beating myself up about it. I'm tired of being defeated in this area. I'm tired of being discouraged about this part of my life. Lord, is this true? That my weapons are mighty through you to pulling down this stronghold. And I looked at God's word and apparently it's true. Apparently it's true. The word of God says right here that I have weapons that are not carnal, but they are mighty through God and they can tear down my strongholds. What weapons do we have? You know the weapons, don't you? Let's move to the weapons. You know the weapons? Are you familiar with the weapons? The Word of God is our weapon, isn't it? Which is why I've got to love the Word of God, read the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God. Can I ask you a personal question? When's the last time you memorized a verse of Scripture for the simple purpose of helping you to defeat an area of your life where you were struggling? When's the last time one of you guys who tend to have a problem with your thought life? Maybe it's the fault of your past. Maybe it's just the fact that you're a guy. When's the last time you said, you know, Lord, I need to take up a weapon? And you went to the Bible. You memorized a verse and you meditated on it so that you could take that weapon and pull down that wall. When's the last time it was that real to you? Now, I know you kids are in college. You're in Bible college. So you read. You got all this reading requirements, don't you? Got to read. And how many of you are memorizing verses because you have to? How many of that's true in your life? You're memorizing verses because you have to? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Memorize them. Hide God's word in your heart. But when's the last time you did it just because you personally needed it? I started this year just concerned about purity because of the fact that I was counseling so many people battling their purity. Every week of my life, I get another email from somebody I met at a camp who wants help. I got a Facebook message this week that was absolutely astonishing. And I got this message and I read it to my wife. I said, I want you to read this with me. And we got out there asking for help. And this is way beyond me. And God, you've got to help me to know how to answer and how to say. And because I'm surrounded by it, counseling it, dealing with it, and concerned about my own children and concerned about myself, I started this year. I chose a verse, 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee youthful lust. This was a meditation verse for me in January. Flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So three things I meditated about. Number one, God help me to always flee youthful lust. I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't. I'm not completely opposed to it. It's just a tool. It's fine to do it. I'm not completely against it. But I want to be so wise and so careful, I don't watch much. And usually, if I watch TV, it's a ball game. My one son, I'm a Tennessee Volunteer fan. Anybody here a Tennessee Volunteer fan? All these lovely, godly people. And I like Tennessee Vols. My son, I failed as a dad. Y'all pray for me. My son is a Roll Tide fan. And, honestly, how can a Tennessee Volunteer have a son that is a Roll Tide? I don't know, except that obviously the devil has a stronghold in his life. And I'm concerned for him. Bless his heart, he loves him. And I was reading, this is okay now. Okay. I know this guy, you wouldn't agree with everything he does, but I was reading an article by James Dobson, A Focus on the Family, about the family, about sons in particular. And as I was reading along about a year ago, I was reading this article, and Dr. Dobson said, one of the ways a father can connect to his son is he can support his son's favorite sports team. And I read that and I thought, well, obviously this guy's not spirit-filled. But I read it again and I thought, you know, Matthew is my son that I've had a hard time connecting with. I have no problem connecting to Jacob. I have no problem connecting to Joshua. But Matthew, I've just not been able to feel that connection. And so I prayed about it. I thought, no, Lord, are you really prompting my heart to support the Alabama Roll Tide? I mean, are you seriously leading me that way? Lord, I'm trying to discern the spirits. This doesn't feel like it's of God. And I'm praying about it, and I went to my son, and I said, so, hey, Matt, let's talk. I said, hey, bud, I was reading a book the other day that said, a dad, one of the ways he could be close to his son would be to support his favorite team. And his little eyes sparkled. And he was like, you would seriously do that for me? Kind of like, stink. Now I gotta, you know. And I was like, yeah, for you, except for one time. If they're playing Tennessee, I can't do it. But if they're playing anybody else, I'll root for Roll Tide with you. So my son and I, we've been watching Roll Tide play. That's what I'll do. I'll sit down and I'll hook up the TV. I don't even usually turn it on, but I'll hook it up to watch Roll Tide football game with my son. And I've been using that verse with my son, flee youthful lust. Because even watching a football game the other day, just with my son, all of a sudden, here's a cheerleader. We changed the channel. We look away. And said to my wife, let us know when we look again. Because we're trying to flee youthful lust. So I want a stronghold in my life. I don't want a stronghold there. Don't want a stronghold in my son. When's the last time you took a verse? I took that verse. He said, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. I'm trying to use the weapon to have victory in my life and walk with God and do right. Are you using the weapon of God's word? Then he said, do it with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So I've got some brothers in my life. Caleb, I contacted your father because he's my friend. And I said, hey, Brother Chris, I said, would it be okay if I ever feel like the devil's starting to attack my purity? Could I call on you and would you call on the Lord with me out of a pure heart? Do you have one? That's what I asked your dad. Do you have one? Because I want to have one and I want you to have one. And could we pray about it together?
I got that from meditating on the Word of God, because I don't want that to be a stronghold in my life. Are you with me this morning? Do you have God's Word in your life about your issue? Maybe you're a worrier. Maybe you're a gossip. Maybe you tend to be sharp-tongued. Maybe you're grouchy and irritable and you're always down and depressed and discouraged. You need the weapons in your life to tear down the strongholds in your life. One of them is the Word of God. One of them is the Spirit of God, isn't it? Are you Spirit-filled? Guys in your dorm room, are you Spirit-filled? Are you led of the Spirit, girls? Are you cautious, boys, in the things you'll chuckle about? I want to tell you guys, if you're joking improperly about sexual matters, fornication, that kind of stuff, I'm telling you, it'll show up down the road and damage you. Are you walking in the Spirit? That's one of our weapons. Prayer is one of our weapons. I'm glad you're having a day of fasting and prayer. If you got an issue in your life, take this day and get on your knees and cry out to God about it and ask Him to tear down the stronghold. He's able. I thought about the power of partnership, I call it. To partner with others about, is there anybody in your life you can be brutally honest with? Is there anybody in your life that you can say, I just want you to know I'm battling with this right here, and you know they will love you in spite of your battle, and they will pray with you about it and fight with you about it? Anybody? I was studying for a sermon a few weeks ago. I was down in Texas. I was sitting in my RV. I was studying for the evening sermon. And all of a sudden, just in my thought life, I just started battling in my thought life, just out of the blue. And what in the world is that thought running through my mind for? And I immediately stopped and I prayed. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of my meditation verse. And so I immediately texted four brothers. And said, hey, I'm trying to get ready to preach tonight. And all of a sudden, I feel a battle in my mind. Would you pray for me and with me about this? And all four of those brothers, over the next 4 hours, sent me messages, sent me texts, sent me verses. One of them called me the next morning. We prayed together. I'm just telling you, the Word of God and partnership and the power of the Spirit. Listen, you know, people, you don't have to ruin your life. The devil does not have to control your stronghold. You can tear down that wall. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the tearing down of our strongholds. Here's the word. The word walk, the word war, the word weapon, and the word win. As we walk in the flesh, here's what Paul's saying. As we walk in the flesh, verse 3, as we war in the Spirit, as we rely on these mighty through God weapons, God can use those to pull down the strongholds in our life. We cast them down. We bring them down. We demolish them. He takes out the areas that are wrong, our thoughts and our reasonings. And He corrects the areas of disobedience. And the result of that is we become obedient to God in that which is right and good and blessed and favored and best. And that's what Paul is saying here. You can have that life. So tell me, three things and I'm done. Would this be true no matter what we're facing? Would this be true no matter what we're facing? I say to you this morning, this is true no matter what you are facing. What you're facing often becomes a stronghold in your life. Maybe it's a test from God. Maybe it's a trial in your life. Maybe it's a temptation. Think of Job. Job couldn't see the big picture. He didn't know. He had no idea. Why are my children dying? Why have I lost my money? Why are my animals dead? Why is my wife upset? Lord, what are you doing to me? He had no idea what was going on in his life. But you know something? The weapons are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And God took that test, that trial, that situation, and gave Job the victory in the midst of it. And Job grew in the Lord and it changed his life. What are you facing today? Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're thinking, there's no way I can pay my bill. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, there's a situation back home that you can't get out of your heart and mind because it's a big deal. Maybe there's something personal going on in your life. I want to say to you that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Think about even, I can think in my own life of even personal trials.
When somebody attacks you, doesn't that hurt? Or somebody misunderstands you, or there's a loss in your life. I one of the things that always sobers me just to even pause and think about is twice in our marriage we've had babies that were born that didn't live. That's not how life is supposed to be. And I'm not the greatest parent in the world, but I sure love my kids and pray and train them and try. And I don't know to this day why God didn't allow those little boys to live. I don't know. I think about it. I told God once. I don't know if this is even right or wrong, so forgive me if you think it's wrong. Sometimes I'll pray and I'll say, now, Lord, I know my boys are with you, and you tell them I love them. Tell them I love them. Brother Micah's grandmother just passed away a couple of weeks ago, one of his favorite people in all the world. And I thought about her being in heaven. I just thought about that. Is that real? And I don't know if this is right or wrong, but I prayed and I said, Lord, tell Grandma Ruby that I'm sorry I never got to meet her, but I can't wait to see her when I get there. She was my prayer partner. Since Micah joined my team, that lady prayed for me. And I'm just telling you, she always Facebook messaged me. So I never met her, but she Facebook messaged me. She always wrote in all caps and with exclamation points. She always felt like the lady was yelling at me. And she's in heaven. I never got to meet her. That lady, I want to tell you, you wouldn't criticize my ministry to her because Micah was on my team and she loved me. She would shoot you in the name of Jesus because she loved me. That lady prayed for me. You can go through losses and trials. This is true no matter what you're facing. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strong. This is true no matter where we are failing. Some of you are failing in a matter of purity, aren't you? It's a failure in your life. But this is true no matter where you're failing. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Some of you, the area of your failure is your personality. It is kind of how God made you. But it's a stronghold failure in your life. You worry, you fret, you're irritable, you have the fear of man. You get so insecure. You're so insecure. A person looks at you wrong and you feel all bad about it the rest of the day. There's an insecurity in your life. It's your personality, but it's a stronghold. And you're failing in it. Some of you, it's that faulty pattern. It's how you handle that insecurity. It's how you handle the discouragement in your life. You get discouraged about something. Next thing you know, you're failing in other areas because you're discouraged. Those are strongholds in your life. And God doesn't want you to live that way. Because the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds. Student body, I'm saying to you this morning, tear down those walls. Don't be defeated and discouraged any longer. This is true no matter what I'm facing. It is true no matter where I'm failing. And it's true no matter how unclear my future. Some of your seniors, you're thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. So God, I followed you to ambassador, and here I am an ambassador, and I know God, you wanted me here, and now I don't have a clue about my future. And people will step into your life at these times to be a great encouragement to you, won't they? Well, you know, you should have gone to an accredited college, and you want to hit them in Jesus' name, but no, you can't because you're spirit-filled. Is there anybody in your life like that? You ever have somebody in your life like that? You know, Lord, can I kick them? You ever pray that way? Can I just kick this person real hard? God will put people in your life sometimes that will really test your patience, won't they? But the fact of the matter is some of you do have an uncertain future. You don't know how you're going to pay for your bill. You don't know who you're going to marry. Some of you don't know if you're going to marry. That's an impossibility. Aren't you glad the Bible says with God, nothing shall be impossible? God can give you guys a wife. He can. For crying out loud, there's 3.5 billion girls in the world. Surely you can find one, right? Now, of course, you want a godly one and a spirit-filled one and a pretty one while you're at it. Might as well. I'd recommend that. You don't have to, but I'd recommend it. If you're going to get married, you might as well marry a pretty one. Come on, help me out here. Don't leave me hanging. It's the truth, isn't it? And girls, you might as well marry a handsome guy. Now, my wife always says the best-looking guy in the world is already taken. And so I'm sorry about that. But there's other guys. And there's other guys. See, what you do? I don't know how I'm facing. I don't know who I'm going to marry. And I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to get. Some of you guys are I don't know how I'm going to get started in evangelism. I don't know. You got all these questions. I don't know. I don't know about the future. I don't know what the future holds. I remember when I was in Bible college studying to be an evangelist. I get so discouraged because my dad, you know, we're young, Dave Young. People thought I was Chinese, Young, and nobody knows the Youngs. Nobody knows the Young. You know, some guys have big names. I went to college with a guy named Will Rice. rise. John R. rise. Bill, rise. And I was Dave Young. So, Lord, how am I going to do it? And I know rices can do it because, you know, like that's just like their second nature. It's they're like, you know, they're just that way. I mean, they can do this stuff. But, Lord, I can't. And I remember being so discouraged about my future. But I feel ashamed of that now. Because I prayed about it and just followed the Lord for crying out loud. For crying out loud. God's been so good to me. It has a stronghold in my life, my worry about my future. Now I get so down, so discouraged. I don't know if anybody will ever have me preach. No. And the reason I think that is I was thinking to myself, I wouldn't have me preach for crying out loud. Lord, there's no way. I know you called me, but there's no way. There's no, I can't do this. I cannot do this. Pastor encouraged me. Pastor Dietrich encouraged me. He was telling us the other day at lunch. He's telling us about his study in Genesis and the life of Joseph. And Pastor, you remember what you said to me, don't you? He's talking about Joseph when he came out of prison and stood before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh asked him, you know, can you interpret this dream? And Joseph said, hey, I just want you to know it's not in me. It's not in me. I can't do that. But God will give you an answer. And I can't tell you how many times I've thought, God's not in me. I can't do this. I can't. God gave me 5 kids. God, I can't raise them. I can't. You know how inconsistent I am, Lord? You know how impatient I can get at times? I'm busy. I can't. It's not in me, Lord. The devil wants to take all of those kind of things in your life and build a stronghold. He wants to put up a wall and say, see there, you've wasted 4 years of your life, haven't you? And now you know how you're going to pay this bill. Dude, you could have stayed home. Now you can't pay the bill. And it's a strong, tear it down. You've got weapons. The Lord will give you those weapons. And the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So by God's grace and God's help and in the power of God's word and God's spirit and in the power of prayer and through the power of partnership with godly brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I say to you this morning, tear down your wall. Don't let the devil win this battle. Don't let the devil discourage you. Don't be defeated in your purity. The devil wants to use that against you. Go to God and let him tear it down. Don't let your personality become a hang-up in your life. Tear down the wall. Don't let your past be a hang-up in your life. Tear down the wall. Don't let the uncertain future be a hang-up in your life. Tear down the wall. By God's grace and God's help, you can. And I want to tell you, if you'll do it, you'll be glad you did. Because God can give you victory and peace and joy and favor and love and mercy. He's just that way. And I just want your student body to know this. He loves you. I'm going to say that again. He loves you. And this sounds kind of weird, but I'm just going to say it. He likes you. I just want you to know your God likes you. You're His. I wish all of you had children. I hope all of you do someday. I can explain to you what it's like to be a daddy. I love those kids. I just flat out love them. And on top of that, I like them. I just like them. I just love it. I like them. I love them. That's my Father. He loves me. He knows me. He knows things about me that I'd never want you to know. But He loves me. And He likes me. He wants to help me tear down the strongholds in my life so that I can live in victory and peace and freedom. He wants that for you. So I just ask you, what's your stronghold? Where is it the devil's beating the daylights out of you? Where are you failing? Where are you struggling? What are you uncertain about? And I just say, run to Jesus. Just run to Him, kids. Run to Him. Let Him help you start tearing down that wall. Let Him help. Okay? Have I made sense? Father, speak to us, would you, Jesus? Lord, maybe just one student needs the message today. Maybe just one. Maybe there's just one guy and he's defeated in his purity and there's a stronghold in his life. Maybe it's just one guy. Maybe it's one girl, and Lord, the way you designed her, the strength that you gave her, her personality is also a weakness. It Because now it's become a stronghold in an area where the devil discourages her and defeats her. Maybe it's just one or two, or maybe it's all of us. God, there's still some strongholds in my life that I'm wanting you to tear down, and I'm claiming your word, and I'm praying about them, and I don't want the devil to defeat me in these areas. I want to win. And I want my brothers and sisters here to win as well. And dear God, just pour out your Spirit, draw us to yourself. Help us to never forget that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through you to the pulling down of our strongholds. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Keep your heads bowed. Stand to your feet.